So last week we had our first Shinis Menchas Chinuch Mitzvah Reish Lamed Gimel Shalola Aval Hamishpat. So let's just recap quickly, and then we will get into a second Chelek Beis, the second part of this Menchas Chinuch Shir. So number one, we spoke last week about the Rambam, and for those who weren't here, you can look at number one, or for those who are here again, you can look at number one on the source sheet where the Rambam. Here, anyone who doesn't have, please take. Here, let's pass them around. The Rambam writes very clearly, and if you look in the small print, in the fine print on the bottom of the Chinuch, you'll see that they point us to this Rambam in Hilchos Sanhedrin Perek Chaf. And it's important when you're learning Chinuch to look at the Rambam, because very often the Chinuch quotes the Rambam verbatim. So over here, the Rambam points out that there are two halachas that we learn clearly from the pasuk of Lo Sasu Aval Bamishpat. Halacha number one, as we spoke last week, is what? What? Oh, you weren't here. What? Right. Halacha number one is simply to lie. Is a dayan allowed to lie? Absolutely not. Shalol Avalas HaMishpat tells us he has to tell the absolute truth. When we spoke about this, we mentioned that there are three ethical, moral dilemmas that are raised within the Tshuva Svar. One of those such cases is the case of the Kleizimer Gareba that we mentioned, which is a situation where a dayan, basically the overarching question over here is, do the ends justify the means or not? So, for example, the Kleizimer Rebbe said, he had the following suffix. If I have a dayan who sees that one party is chayv to the other party $50,000, and we know that if the dayan is actually going to sign the psak and write that there's a $50,000 charge here, there's no way the person's going to ever pay it. So he's stuck in a bind. Maybe I should only say he's chayv $30,000, and by saying that he's only chayv $30,000, he'll at least get $30,000 to the one who it's owed to. However, if he writes $50,000 on the psak, he knows that the person is not going to pay anything. So in such a case, does a dayan have a right to lie in the psak and write that he's only chayv $30,000 instead of writing the truth of $50,000? So on face value, we would have said, absolutely yasser. Why?
He can't lie.
He can't lie. He got to say the truth. Midrash Sheker Tirchak. However, we do find that the Pischei Tshuva has a second case. Pischei Tshuva has the following discussion. This is just a quick recap. Pischei Tshuva has a case where you have three dayanim on a din Torah. Two of the dayanim are absolute crooks. They're ganavim, they're liars, stealers, cheaters, doing everything wrong. And the third dayan is an honest person. So what's the halacha? Achri Rav Lahatos tells us that the third dayan has to be ready to sign onto the psak if he's outvoted by the other two. But over here, the third dayan says, how can I sign this? It's not just that I don't agree with them. I know that they were cheating. I know that the only reason they came to the conclusion they came to is because they're absolute liars. They took shochad from one side. So what is he supposed to do in such a case? So this dayan has a great idea. Pischei Tshuva talks about a case. Maybe I'll say, Eni Yodea. Maybe the third dayan should say, Eni Yodea. Now what's the halacha when one of the three dayanim says, Eni Yodea? What?
You get more
dayanim. You get more dayanim. Add another two dayanim. So maybe the third dayan has a right to say, Eni Yodea. He's going to lie and say, Eni Yodea, in order that he should be able to add two more honest dayanim. Then the three of them will outvote the two crooks. Yeah.
Two dayanim vote one way and one says
Eni Yodea,
so he still
has
to sign on?
No, then we Yosifu Adayanim. The Gemara says you have to add on two dayanim. The only time he has to sign on, right, so the only time he has to sign on is when you think the halacha is A and I think the halacha is B, so Achiram Lahato says you have to follow the Rov, what they think the halacha is. But over here where he says Eni Yodea, he says I take myself out of the vote because I'm not really sure what to say, so then the halacha is that Mosifim Ochne Dayanim. Yeah. Oh, if that happens, so then we need to start over. We need to get a whole new Bezdin. If everyone says Eni Yodea, I would assume we would have to get a whole new Bezdin. So that was case number two where the Achronim have a big discussion. Does a Dayan have a right to lie in order to bring about a good result, a positive result? And case number three that we discussed was the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh and Parshas Mishpatim has... Oh, the last guy, news to tell us.
Right, so we have the first 23.
So first of all, we're talking about when do we have 23? Only right, in a case of Dina Nefashis. Right, so we have a Dina Nefashis case with 23 dayanim, yeah?
The first 22 say Chayav.
Right.
And if he says Chayav also...
And now you're the dayan number 23, waiting to cast right. Your vote.
And you think he's Chayav. So
right.
If you say Chayav, the problem is that he's going to be Potter. If you say Pot, because if all 23 say Chayav, then he's on the case with one of them.
Should everyone following? The halacha is, if all 23 dayanim say the person is chayiv misa, then we assume that the whole din Torah is over. The guy goes out, he's putter. So here he's saying the case is, what happens when I have 22 dayanim who already vote chayiv, and now you're the 23rd, and he's stuck with the following problem. If you say putter, right, and if you say chayiv, because he's a murderer. So you say that, why don't I lie and say
putter in order to get him killed?
Right, so all these three dilemmas are under this category of shalolo avel es hamishpat. It's a question, it's a halachic question, which has strong tzadim on both sides. Is a dayan allowed to lie in certain circumstances? Obviously, the chinuch over here is talking about a regular case. A regular case where you don't have these strange conditions that we discussed. And the chinuch is saying over here that on a regular din Torah, the dayanim have to be as honest and straightforward as possible, and there's no room for any wiggle. There's no room for any wiggling around when it comes to mishpatei HaTorah. Yeah.
Isn't the purpose of the halacha that if all the dayanim agree on one psak, and when he's chayav misa, that he's pater, is because you're concerned that
I think it's that they didn't look into it with enough.
So wouldn't that be an indicator that he's not chayav?
So why? Right. So you're asking an unbelievable question. What's the tzad? What's the havamina to even say that I can lie over here?
That's the point of the halacha.
That's the point of the din, right? So it's a very difficult thing to understand. If the whole reason why the halacha is that the person is pater is
because he's actually pater,
right? Because he's actually pater, because obviously something's wrong here. So then, what kind of tzad can I have? Yeah.
You can say that about other kids also.
Yeah.
He's saying the din is after Avraham. He's saying eating the day. So granted, I know that the other two guys are crooks.
Mm-hmm.
Then that's the whole point of the din. That you go.
Right.
The whole point of the
okay.
Is
there a saying you believe them?
Let's hear. Yeah. What do you say?
Well, I'm saying, it's not really a question because then, I mean, it just can.
Everyone is everyone listening? Yeah.
It could just be a question whether it's on the what the psak is or on the person himself, whether he has to tell the truth. Like that's what we.
Again, that what?
On whether it's like the dayan himself has to give what he thinks is true. He can't change. Like he can't lie. Or whether the psak as a whole. Is he the whole beis din, like what we were saying, like is,
right.
I'm saying, is the mitzvah on the whole beis din or on each guy individually?
Right. Okay.
So I'm saying that.
So sad to think about, yeah. What do you say?
This is an obvious question. I imagine there are certain instances where a particular dayan might feel that the rule shouldn't apply. For example, let's say someone killed someone, like Hamish Mevaret, he had like 500 eyewitnesses, like everyone knows he did it, everyone saw.
Right.
So meaning, like, the rule of everyone saying chayiv really, logically, should not apply there because even if everyone looks at it, they all should say chayiv.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be talking about a situation like that, where the dayan is chashbonning it. This rule should not really apply in this scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the question?
Yeah, this is why, thank you everybody, this is exactly why all three of these cases are called ethical dilemmas. They're dilemmas. There aren't right or wrong answers. It's something that we should think about. I'm just putting it out there that we should chew on this a little bit. So now let's move forward. This is more what we discussed last week, but now let's move forward to... You have nothing to say about it? No one else? Anyone else? Okay, so then we'll move forward to the second halacha that the Rambam learns out from this pasuk. Let's look in...
What?
So we discussed last week, meaning there's tzadim and achronim lakanu lakan. There are those who learn out from the pasuk of Midvar Sheker Tirchak that one does not have a right to lie in any type of circumstance. One always has to tell the truth. A dayan must always give the proper psak, even if he has all these good cheshbonos and he has good intentions in mind. Bottom line, he has to say the honest truth. Some learn it out from a Mefurash pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim, but there is room to discuss it. So maybe we'll discuss further, but I just wanted everyone to think about these three cases. They're very fascinating stories to think about. So now let's move to part number two that the Rambam learns out here, and we'll see it's a machlokes Rashi and the Rambam whether or not we should learn this out from this particular pasuk. We have a pasuk over here that says, Lo sasu aval b'mishpat. If you look at number one, the Rambam says, not only does this mean I have to say the honest truth, but the Rambam says there's also a concept of inui hadin. Anybody know what inui hadin is? Anybody ever heard of inui hadin? Yeah.
We said you had to do it quickly. Is that what that was?
What was that? Yeah. So inui hadin means?
That you can't delay the din.
Oh, so why? I mean, inui means, inui we know from Yom Kippur. Inui right. means?
You know from Yom Kippur.
What?
Right. You're sticking the din, you're like...
Inui means... to pain, to afflict. So what does it mean, inoy hadin? To make it more difficult. So how could it be more difficult? I already said that you're chayiv. What's more difficult than that? Oh, no. So the person is entitled to know why he's chayiv. Otherwise, he'll be very upset at the bezdin. Yeah?
Whether he's chayiv for a long time and be unsure and everything.
Very good. So just tell me. What? Bam kasha, have misunim madin. So slow down. Let's slow down here. Let's take this slowly. So you're asking a very good question, and you're making a very good point. The Gemara says over here, I'm sorry, the Rambam learns out from this pasuk that there's a halacha of inui hadin. We are not allowed to make a person wait longer than he has to. Keep this in your back pocket, that the Rambam on that Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim disagrees. Rashi on Parshas Mishpatim learns out the halacha of inui hadin from a different pasuk, and we'll see in a few minutes why this is a very, very significant importance. Rashi learns out on Parshas Mishpatim that we learn that from the pasuk of Almana lo sa'anun, that one is not allowed to start up with an Almana. Rashi says, that's not just a halacha by an Almana, that's a halacha by everyone. You're never allowed to make anyone more suffer more pain than they have to. So why the pasuk specifically say lo sa'anun Almana, Almana lo sa'anun, why does it say that? Because the easiest person to pick on is an Almana, right? Easiest person to pick on is an Almana. She doesn't have a husband to stick up for her. So then Rashi extends that halacha that one is never allowed to make anyone suffer more than they have to. So he learns out from there the halacha of inui hadin, whereas the Rambam learns it out from our pasuk in this mitzvah, Reish Lama Gimel, of lo sasu avo b'mishpat. Very important machlokas Rashi in the Rambam, as we'll see in a couple of minutes. Yeah?
How is the Rambam defining the word avo, that it can include inui? I mean, just really, avo, I thought from the way it was defined, it means like distortion or like
right,
something like that, but that doesn't seem to follow. It's not like the same type of mission.
Right, sounds like the Rambam's just extending this halacha, that he's thinking about all the possible terrible things that you could do in a din Torah, and he says another terrible thing you could do is to make someone suffer by giving the psak.
They don't feel like, it doesn't seem like they're under the same type of category. One is like distortion, and another one is just like, you know, painting someone
right
out. They have nothing to do with each other.
Right, so that's what Rashi says. I don't see any of this in the pasuk. Rashi learns it out from Amana Losa Adon. Over there it says inui. But the Rambam seems to extend this halacha. You have a good question, but that's why Rashi seems to disagree. Yeah.
Rashi's talking about inui hadin, or he's just talking about,
right, so the Achronim point out that from that Rashi you see that there's also halacha of inui hadin. You're never because the point of inui hadin is you're never allowed to make someone suffer. So the Achronim say that from there is the makar in Rashi Shita that one is not allowed to be ma'aneh asadin. Rashi doesn't learn it out from here because, like David said, we don't really see it from this pasuk of lola avala samishba.
It's necessary to be ma'aneh asadin. To clarify the din.
So we'll get to that point in 1 second. We'll get to that point in a second. Yeah.
I'm saying I understand that for the Rambam who learns out there's a separate din of inui hadin. So he was even though you have to clarify the din. So there's a separate din of inui hadin. Figure out how they work together. But I'm saying Rashi never even mentions inui hadin. So to say that Rashi, because you're never allowed to afflict anybody, the din of inui hadin is not necessarily true because there are a lot of afflict people are necessary.
Oh, so 1 second. So let's flesh this out. Just a little bit. So we know, the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in the fifth parak in Pirkei Avos, Cherev bo le'olam al inui hadin. Right? We have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, there is going to be terrible destruction in the world because of inui hadin. Yet, on the other hand, we have Ben Sion's Mishnah that says, Hevim misunim hadin. We have to do things slowly and carefully. We can't just give a quick psak and make a mistake. We have to make sure we look into all the evidence and we actually turn over every single leaf that can possibly be uncovered here in the case. And we have to actually make sure that we get down to the bottom line of what the halacha is really supposed to be. So how do we understand when the halacha of inui hadin actually sets in? Right? In light of that stira in the Mishnayos, how do we understand when the din of inui hadin comes up? What? Oh, so 1 second. Yeah.
I think there's a difference between spending a lot of time figuring out the case and like seeing that someone did something wrong, so you're just trying to embarrass them, so you just like all the base then just comes to drink together and like talk together with each other before
and waste his time
before they actually say the din.
So you are absolutely right. If you look in Shulchan Aruch Choshem Mishpat, look at number 3 in Choshem Mishpat Simon Yud Zayin Sif Yud Aleph. Everybody have it? Everybody's on number 3. So if you look at number 3, it says as follows: Tzarech Hadayin Lifsok Hadin. The Dayan has to pass in the din when? Miyad acher sheyizbarlo. this halacha of Ini Adin, don't make a mistake, says the Shulchan Aruch. Don't think Ini Adin says a person should rush into a din and say the halacha before he's really sure that that's the din. Ini Adin means, after I have clarified that this is in fact the halacha, then I cannot make the person wait any longer. Like you said, if we're all going to show up to Beis Din and we're just going to be drinking away and having lunch and taking breaks and everyone's just going to be doing whatever they want just to make this person suffer and be mevazahim, so that is the halacha of Lo Sasu Avel, like the Rambam says, that is part of the din of Lo Sasu Avel Bamishpat. So what do we see here? We see that the din, Ine Adin, sets in once the person knows what the halacha is supposed to be. Before I administer the psak, but I already know what the psak is, that's when the halacha of Ine Adin applies. The Achronim point out over there, when it comes to Dina Nefashos, it's the opposite. When it comes to Dina Nefashos, Adarabah, the more time you take on a case, the more chance the person has to actually come out alive. The more chance the person has to come out that he's innocent. So when you come to a Dina Nefashos, the Achronim point out, the Ine Adin is after the psak din, like the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin. That's number 2, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, which you can look at later, where the Gemara says that Ine Adin means after we give a psak on a dine nefashos that a person is chayiv, so then we must administer the misas bezdin right away. We cannot make him wait because he's going to be going crazy. Imagine you have a person who knows he's just been given a psak that he's chayiv misa, and now he's waiting for a bezdin to have the time to sit and kill him. Right, so I guess we do it reasonable, but to stop and tell the guy, well, in 3 weeks is going to be your death sentence, that's not really fair to him. We tell him that there's an isser of Ine Adin, we have to be able to kill him right away. Yeah? So that's a very important question. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch, I forgot to put it on. Oh, no, it's on here. Look in Shulchan Aruch in number 3, where the Shulchan Aruch tells us, right, it's only if I have in mind, it's only if I'm doing it with the intention to actually make the person suffer. But you're going to tell me I'm not allowed to go and use the bathroom before I give him the psak? That's not true. Of course I am. I'm allowed to do what's normal. But if I'm doing it specifically k'day litzar, if I'm doing it to make the person suffer, that is not permissible. Yeah?
How is it exactly?
Right. You don't understand what the Eno is. What do people think? I mean, I go for a dentura. I'm waiting. This guy has been heckling me for the last, you know, year, 2 years, 3 years, right? I would imagine this is the case very often.
I think I'm putter,
but I'm going crazy already. Get this guy off my back. Tell him to stop. Every time he sees my wife in the supermarket, he's heckling her, and he's breaking my windows at night. Everything. He's acting like a meshugana. So he's making my life miserable. I'm waiting for the psak din. The bezin should say, I am putter, and get out of my life. I'm not interested in dealing with you anymore. That is Ine Adin. No, I mean, that's an exaggerated case, but I assume to some degree there's a certain amount of anxiety that a person has when he's waiting to hear what the psak is, even if he's going to be chayiv. He's waiting just to have closure on the case that everything should be settled. Ine Adin is either way. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so now let's go a little bit further. There is a discussion in the Pische Tshuva as follows. As far as we know, Ine Adin only applies to a din Torah, to Dine Mamanis or Dine Nefashis. Now the Pische Tshuva raises the following issue. What if a person comes to my house, I am the rabbi in the town, and a woman comes to my house with her 5 kids jumping all over the place, and everybody looks like a wreck, and she's a total mess. Why is she upset? Because her whole kitchen just became trafe. The 2-year-old kid just went and poured some milk into the chicken soup, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's afraid that her whole kitchen is trafe, and she's not allowed to use any of the pots anymore, and she's not allowed to use the oven anymore, and she's very concerned. So she comes to my house, and I, as the rabbi, say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for you. Or I listen to her shaila, and I say, well, let me look into it. And in fact, I look into it. I don't know everything off the top of my head, so I look in Shulchan Aruch to see what it says. And I say, I'll call you back later. And then I go and I have dinner, and I go to whatever, I do my things. And then, 11 o'clock at night, I call her back. So is that part of the Isser Inu Hadin? So this is a suffix in the Pische Tshuva. And he quotes the Shalach HaKadosh, who writes, This is the Pisgei Tshuva. It's not on here. This is the Pisgei Tshuva for anyone who wants to look it up. In Simon Reish Mem Beis and Yeradeya Sif Tes. He quotes over there the suffix of the Mishnas Chachamim. Would we apply the Isser Ine Hadin to cases which are Isser Veheter? A woman comes to me with a shayla in the kitchen and she's worrying about the kashrus of all of her utensils. She's worrying about the kashrus of her oven. Should I assume that there's a prohibition of Ine Hadin in such a case or not? So he quotes from the Shalach HaKadosh that even over there, even in the case of Isser Veheter, one also has to be concerned for Ine Hadin. However, then he qualifies that statement and says, for those who are paying attention, there's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam. The machlokes Rashi in the Rambam is, when do we assume there's an Isser Ine Hadin? That wasn't a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, right? That's where you're looking at me. The machlokes Rashi in the Rambam was, what's the mucker for the Isser Ine Hadin, right? Rambam says, we learn it out from Lo Sasu Ava Bamishpat. Says the Pischei Tshuva, in fact, if that is the case that we learn it out from Losasu Alva Mishpat, maybe it's only applicable to a Beis Din. And when it comes to a Shaila of Isser Veheter, a woman comes to my house with a Shaila, call her back 3 weeks later, no problem. According to the Rambam, there is no problem. However, okay, that's something else to think about. But if it's one of the people that's not going to give me a hard time for my job, so the Rambam says, call her back whenever you want. However, according to Rashi, that the makar of the din, Inu Hadin, is learned out from Almana. One is not allowed to make a person suffer, so it has nothing to do with a Beis Din. A person is never allowed to make somebody else suffer, and in such a case, if in fact that is the makar for the Isser Inu Hadin, then we assume that it would apply even to Isser Vahet. Everyone follow that? Sounds pretty simple, right? It sounds like it's Tali on a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. And that's what the Pischei Tshuva points out for us over here. Yeah.
What if two companies are suing each other?
Yeah.
Why did it apply over there? Since there's not, there are Bali Yidin, but they aren't like people. I mean, some people might be affected by the companies.
Saying a corporation is not a person.
Right. So I mean, like, say like the CEO might be worried about the stock, but he himself is not the Bali Yidin. So would Inouye didn't apply over there in that circumstance?
I can't say because I have no idea. Any ideas? Anyone? What do you say?
I would say yeah, for sure. I mean, it's just for all parties involved, you wanted the psak earlier. For everyone in the world would rather the psak now as opposed to later. I mean,
I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm saying.
My gut reaction would be to say like shy, but I don't know. What? Everybody hates?
Uncertainty.
Right.
I mean, the
right.
Question is not what everybody wants. The question is, are you machayev by this pasuk? Is
that? Well, according to Rashi.
Yeah.
Then it sounds like it's Pashad. You're asking according to the Rambam. I don't know. I would imagine, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone's going
to
be Messiah.
Yeah, it's a corporation.
But there's always someone at the...
No one's losing money because of it.
There's always someone very, very nervous about this.
Right.
He himself and not the Baldin. So you can't be wrong. You're not being Messiah of the Baldin. You might be being Messiah of someone else as a result of it.
Uh-huh.
That's what the Rambam says in the Porridge, right?
No, he doesn't.
You're saying, so I'll give you a different case. Based on your question, let's think of a different case. Let's regroup here. Let's imagine you have the following scenario. The Bali Dinim themselves tell the Dayanim, imagine this case. The Bali Dinim themselves tell the Dayanim, we don't care, give us the psak whenever you want, take as long as you want. The mother-in-law of one of the Bali Dinim is going so crazy that her son-in-law is in the Din Torah. She's upset. So is there an Isser Ine Hadin because somebody is affected by the uncertainty? What? Sounds like what? Like a? Yeah. Right. I'm not sure, but what if someone else is being affected along? What do you mean? The Baldin's wife isn't okay with it. She's still living with Tsaris. She's not happy about the situation.
Should have told that to her husband before he said it was like that.
Uh-huh. Well, it was a communication problem. Yeah.
So maybe according to Rashi, it would still be a problem because
someone is still suffering.
Someone is still going to be
correct.
Affected. However, according to
correct.
The Rambam, who cares if someone else is affected? The Bali Adin don't care.
Right. Now I'm just bringing out David's question stronger. I don't know what we would say in my case, but that should be the same case as what you're mentioning. Correct. Okay. What to think about? So we'll you'll get back to me. Look into it. Yeah.
So, doesn't it depend if you're doing it kedei l'sair, and if he's not actually in the sair over it, but if you're doing it kedei l'sair, it's awesome.
to the other tzar or someone.
I mean, unless like I said, unless you're local, but if it happens to be that by linking him with him, so this Bali didn't, I don't know, he's a really easygoing guy. He doesn't have anxiety. It's still awesome. Because that's the issue of
assuming you're doing it.
Yeah.
Right. And if you're not doing it, then it's not us.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine. I just didn't look into it. I don't know. All right, we'll have to look into it. Everyone has some homework tonight. So now let's get to the next case. So we just established that there's a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Should this Isser Ini Adin apply to Isser V'Heter as well? Now, the Aderes, who became the Rav in Yerushalayim, was very concerned when he was asked to be the rabbi. He was concerned, well, if there's an Isser Ini Adin even on Isser V'Heter, so he was concerned with the following. He sends a Shiloh to the Marsham. Anyone ever heard of the Marsham? No? The Marsham was the Brishana Rav, I think they called him. So the Marsham had the following suffix. His last name was Shvadron. For those of us who may know the name Shvadron, or Shalom Shvadron, this was his grandfather, if I'm not mistaken. So the Marsham has a tshuva that's written to the Aderes. The Aderes presented the following shaila. Well, I am now the new Rav of Yerushalayim, and every day I get a little exhausted because I stay up late learning. So every day I take a nap in the middle of the day, but I have a lot of people waiting outside to ask me shailas. So am I allowed to take a nap in the middle of the day? Am I allowed to go eat lunch in the middle of the day when there are people waiting outside my house to ask me a shaila? Or should I assume that that's a prohibition, that's a violation of Inui Hadin? Because now, because I decided I want to take a half an hour nap in the middle of the day, now they're going to have to wait to find out the psak on their shaila. So what would you say?
Right.
So this is all assuming, like Rashi, that, like we said before, the Pesach Teshuva says he thinks according to the Rambam this would not apply to Isser V'Heter. But if you assume it applies to Isser V'Heter, the Aderes is bothered with this question. He sends the Shaila to the Marsham. What do? Am I allowed to take a nap in the afternoon anymore, or should I assume there's an Isser Ine Adin, and I have to go and sit all day long listening to Shailas and answering right away? Yeah.
You know, it applies even before the question is asked.
Very good. We'll see that in a second. Bomb. Excellent. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
Also, we said that the guy's allowed to act natural, so if he's tired, he's allowed to do it.
Very good. So let's see. So the Marsham writes back to him. Let's look at number five. I'm sorry, number four. The Marsham writes back to the Aderes the following. Says the Marsham, La Rav Agon Amafursa Marenu HaRav Elio David Shlita Rabinowitz. That's how we get Aderes. Aleph Elio David Rabinowitz. And what's the tough? Elio David Rabinowitz is Aleph Dalet Resh. What's tough? Tumim. They were twins, so they called them Tumim. That was the suffix of their name. So that's why we call him the Aderes. He was the father-in-law of Rav Kook. So he used to be the Av Bezdin in Mir in Russia. Okay, so now he's the rabbi, now the Aderes is the rabbi in Yerushalayim, and he presented the following shayla. Hine gam din in afoshes, exactly like he said, Ben Sion, kaimelon delo mikri ine adin el kishamashin acher shekvar nigmar adin. The only time there's an isser ine adin is when the psak din is already obvious, when we already have a gemar din. However, lo kodem gemar kmoshkas ratos v'sanhedrin af peites, u kmoshkas savti u v'shar dinim kol zman she'ini yodea bebir malahashe bevada emezem shem ine adin midina. Says the Marsham, there's nothing to be concerned about, take your nap. Because exactly like we mentioned, only once the psak is known, only once I heard the shaila, is there a concern of Ine Adin. But if I didn't even listen yet, then there's nothing to be concerned about. One second. V'hadikaseh b'shalah d'lishitis rashi gam baroz isa v'hatar yikimishim Ine Adin. Harei mefurisham gam kein t'davka achar shehara b'ruolo. That's only after I already know what the psak is. Avo kalzman she'eni yodea ha'shaila. Before I even heard what the presentation of the shaila is, then, listen to this. The Marsham says about himself, I think al pi halacha there's nothing to be concerned about. However, midas chasidus, on myself, I was concerned. I, as the Brishana Rav, was concerned. And he writes about himself, Hashem yisparach yodea ki ani ba'ani. I, myself, the Marsham. Kama pa'amim his hartias b'nei besi. I told my wife and my children, Shim yavo mi lishol b'emtza achila. If somebody knocks at the door to ask a shayla, whether I'm in the middle of sleeping, whether I'm in the middle of eating, I'm showering, anything, Oshena lo ya'akvu ela yuviu lefanai, wake me up right away, pull me out of the shower, stop me from eating my meal, o yakitinu ki yufache levavi mi maimer hazeh. Says the Marsham, wake me up right away, stop me from eating my meal, because I am petrified of violating this din of Inei Hadin. That's what the Maharsham says about himself. Although I think, Alpi Halacha, there really is no room to be concerned, the Maharsham says he himself was Machmir Amidus Chasidus, and he told his wife and his children to always answer the door for anybody who came, no matter what time it was, no matter what the family was in the middle of doing. The Maharsham was concerned about this. Yeah.
Yeah, but what about in the case, sorry, we might have said it, but once the Shaila was asked, but I have to learn it, like I have to figure out the answer.
Yeah.
Would he be allowed to take his time then?
Sure, you have to look up. You have to look up the answer.
No, so I'm saying, even though he doesn't have the psak, but he heard the shaila, he's able to take a nap. Then I'm saying, before, like it's not.
You're saying you heard the shaila already,
but I don't have my answer yet.
Right.
So,
Number one is we should just keep in mind what the Shulchan Aruch said. It's only if I have in mind kedei letzayir. Now over here, the reason I'm taking a nap is because I can't function. I stayed up learning until 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up for the Vasikim Minyan.
Whoa!
I can't. I'm talking about the Yaderes. So the Yaderes got, you know, so little sleep. In the middle of the day, he's ready to faint. So he goes down to take a nap. And he's allowed to do that. He's allowed to, it's not Kedei Letzar. He's doing it because he needs to function normally. So that's not, I don't think that would be included.
It only sets in.
What?
It only sets in, though, when the Psak is ready.
Right. But over here, he didn't look into it yet. Correct. Right. That's what the Maharsham writes. Yeah.
So Bezdin didn't ask in cases around the clock.
They had hours.
So even if something was unsolved, they would just pick it up the next day.
Right.
So that's the same thing. You don't know the answer, so on a normal schedule.
It's reasonable.
You know that the rabbi has hours. Also.
Right. That's what the Maharsham said. Exactly. So one last thing we'll discuss before we close is the following. Now what happens if anyone here planning on being a doctor? Okay. You plan to be a doctor, so listen to this. What do you do in the following case? I'll give you a personal example. I got engaged. And after we got engaged, we found out that there might be a genetic question between myself and my cow. Okay? So now, you need to go to the hospital to get some sort of genetic testing. Now that can take 3 weeks to get back a response from them. So for 3 weeks, your engagement is on hold. You're wondering whether or not you should actually marry this person because you might have major genetic problems. Okay? Now, needless to say, a person in that type of situation is very distressed because of the uncertainty of whether or not this is actually going to work out well or not. So, the doctor, here you have a doctor, now take a case that's a little less intense. Take a case where a person goes for a blood test. And he's waiting to hear back whether or not he has this type of illness or he doesn't have this type of illness. Or you have a person who goes for a strep test and he's waiting to hear back from the doctor. Should I start the antibiotics? Should I not? And the doctor says, I'll call you back Monday. Meanwhile, the doctor on Thursday night already saw the results. He just says, I'll call you back Monday. I don't have time now. So what would you say? Is there an Isser Inei Hadin on a doctor to wait until he gets back to his patients with the results, once he already knows them? If the results are not yet known, so then, obviously, there's nothing to talk about. If he already knows the results, but he says, I'll call you on Monday, so is that a violation of Inui Hadin? That's the question. So Rav Zilberstein quotes in his new Sefer on Refuah, he quotes from his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, that he thought, according to Rashi, as we said, Rashi extends this halach of Inui Hadin not only to, like the Rambam says, not only to a case where it's Mishpat, where it's a din Torah, but also to other cases. Anytime you're going to make someone suffer unnecessarily. Says Rav Elyashiv, if that is in fact the case, then even a doctor who does not give the results of a test that he did to his patients right away when he knows the results, he is also in violation of the Isser of Inui Hadin. Now, Rav Elyashiv then discusses what happens if there's a strike. I took a test on one of my patients, and now the doctors strike. Now, in America, we generally don't have this that often, but in Eretz Yisrael, I imagine, they have strikes much more often. So what happens? I have the doctors in Eretz Yisrael make a strike, and this doctor is a Yari Shamayim, he's concerned of Inei Hadin. On the other hand, his whole team of doctors has gone on strike. So if he goes ahead and he's going to call one of his patients, the other doctors are going to be very upset with him. They're going to fire him from the union of doctors. They're going to take away some of his parnasa. They're going to be angry at him. So what do you say in such a case? So says Rabbi Yashiv, in a case where there's a strike, he says a couple of reasons why there's nothing to worry about. Number one, he says, if the doctors are striking, and the reason I'm not calling back my patient is not kedei letzair, like the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm not doing it because I want this patient to suffer. I'm doing it because I'm afraid for my job. I'm afraid if the other doctors in the union find out that I went against the strike and I, in fact, called back my patients when I wasn't supposed to, so then that is not part of the violation of Inei Adin. I'm not doing it to make the person suffer. I'm doing it to save my own skin. It's the same as what the Marsham writes, that he thinks if a person is just being reasonable, he's going to sleep, he's eating lunch, he's going to the bathroom, and there's no Isser Inei Adin when he's taking care of his normal daily routine that he has to take care of in his life. That's not part of the issue of Inei Adin. One last thing I want to point out, just for everyone's enjoyment. I don't know if planning on going on tomorrow to the next mitzvah. What? Okay, so if anyone wants on their own, I just brought down something very interesting. Just quickly, the Chinuch here writes that mitzvah zunoi bischarm. This is just the last point I want to make. Mitzvah zunoi bischarm. So the Minchas Chinuch, the only paragraph of Minchas Chinuch on this mitzvah points out, what do you mean? Imagine if a person is mekabel a woman to be a dayan for him. Now, how do you have such a case that you can be mekabel a woman? Okay, that's a question on itself. But if, let's say, I'm mekabel that I want a woman to judge my din Torah, what, the woman is allowed to say a lie? What are you going to say? The iser of shalola avol b'mishpat, the iser of giving an unjust psak, is that not applicable to a woman? A woman's allowed to accept shochad? Anyone? A woman would be allowed to accept shochad if the two parties decided this woman is an honest woman,
no.
We want her to be our dayan. Is the woman allowed to accept shochad? No. So write this down, look at mitzvah ayin dalid, where the Chinuch talks about the Isra of taking shochad. In fact, the Chinuch writes the same thing that he writes over here, Noheges biz harim. And the Minchas Chinuch there points out, what do you mean only biz harim? It applies to women as well. If the two Balidinim choose a woman to be the dayan for them, then of course she's not allowed to cheat. She's not allowed to take shochad. She's not allowed to lie. She has to be just as honest as everybody else. So over here, I just copied for you number 6. A beautiful tshuva that Rav Asher Weiss wrote recently in his new Shailas HaTshuvas about what is the status of our batidinim mizman hazeh. We have what we call a zabla, zeh bar lo echad, which means each side picks one rabbi who they trust, and then together they pick the third rabbi. So in such a case, is that considered like a real bezdin? Does that have a din like a real bezdin that we all knew of from the times of the Gemara? Or is this a different kind of bezin? The Gemara also discusses a zabla, but what is the status of a zabla? So Rav Asher Weiss first discusses what is the status of a zabla. Is that like a woman? Or is that like a real bezin? And if you say that a zabla does not have a real din like a bezin, it just has a din like a woman, like where we are makabel, a different type of person to judge us, just like if we are makabel a woman, so too we are makabel these three personalities. So if you assume it's like that, so then how far do we take that? Should we assume they're allowed to accept shochad? Should we assume they're allowed to violate the regular halachos of dayanim? Or should we assume, no, once we accepted them as dayanim, they have to act as proper, honest, and just dayanim? That is just for your enjoyment, if you have some extra time. Everyone have a wonderful day.